to be connected. And that is really, as we say, is Hanukkah, is we're in these amazing, incredible days. I want to welcome everybody to our Chizuk mission that today we have the privilege of hearing from Rabbi Nissal, who has been a longtime Baruch Hashem inspiration for all of us, especially here on the Chizuk mission. And I just want to, for those of you that are new, welcome. And those of you, no one's old. There's nobody old here, no matter what our age and stage. But the Chizuk mission is a very, very beautiful, beautiful opportunity for us. As we said, is not just about a frontal lecture, but it's about a deep connection to ourselves, to each other, and most importantly, to Hashem. And Baruch Hashem, we have the vehicle through now virtually, you know, and Zoom and retreats and all sorts of opportunities in Eretz Yisrael, which we just came back from. So I want to welcome you all, those of you that are new and not old, but to hearing from Rabbi Nissal. And we're so excited, Rabbi Nissal, that you've made the time to be here for us. And thank you, Aviva, and thank you, everybody, for joining.
Thank you. Today's class is dedicated Le'ilu Nishmas Ruchama Chaya from Abas Dov Pinchas, Shindel Bas Moshe, Harav Yisrael Noach ben Yitzchak Matisyahu, Rabbi Tzindina Bas Elchanan, Rabbi Zacharia Shimon ben Yitzchak HaKohen, Chana Mendel Bas Yisrael, and Masha Sarah Bas Yisrael Ruvain, and Rafua Shalema to Zacharia Dov ben Peral Shira, Rafael Chaya Meir ben Sima Chasha, Liba Ahuva Bas Chana Riva, Pesach Batzal ben Chaya Bat Sheva, and Chaya Shira Roiza Bas Ayala Malka. And I am going to turn
Can I just
on
say
a
before
video.
you play that clip, hold on 1 second. Okay, before you play this, I just wanted to frame it very quickly. I just wanted to thank all of you, especially Aviva and Barry, for putting so much work into making this happening, but for giving me the opportunity to express myself on something I feel very strongly about. This has been sort of been burning inside of me throughout Hanukkah, and I wanted to share this, and I just wanted to thank you for the schus, for the tremendous honor to be able to share this with such esteemed ladies. The Chizuk Mission doesn't have to sell itself anymore. It's world-renowned. It takes ladies of quality and brings them to the next level, and the fact that I have a small part in that, I feel to be a tremendous privilege. Miss Robertson Aviva to play a small clip because this really, for me, frames what I want to learn with you today. I want to share with you my idea. Anything I say today that is controversial, it is Menachem Nissel's own Torah. I don't have a Rebbe anymore. Rabbi Shapira is not alive. I didn't discuss this with my peers. These are the thoughts that are throwing through my mind, which I would like to share with you. Okay, go ahead, Aviva.
One second.
And we have a big menorah outside our home, and we've become that home in Randwick that all the neighbors know, and we keep it up all year because since October 7th especially, we just feel the community needs that, and we've gotten so much positive feedback for it. And when we finally made it out of the beach and got home that night, our children were crying, and they said, please turn off the menorah, our home is going to become a target. And my husband and I looked at each other, and we said, no way, we're not going down like this. We don't turn off menorahs, we don't hide our kippahs, we stand proud and loud. But our children were crying, and they begged, they said, please, Mama, turn that menorah off. And so I looked at them and I said, as a mother, we're going to turn it off. And the next day, a Christian neighbor came past. I wasn't home, I was in the hospital with Kyla, and she said, yesterday, my daughter drove past your house and the menorah was off. And she just sobbed and she said, no, Mom, they're turning off their menorahs. The evil can't win. And so when she came and said that, my husband called me and I said, no matter what, that menorah goes back on. We don't turn off menorahs. We don't stop shining the light. And that would be Rabbi Eli's message today. I can promise you, I can say it with full certainty, if he was standing here today, he would say, we don't go down in darkness. We shine light. That's the only way to push out darkness. We look out for each other. We spread goodness. We spread kindness. That's what we do. That's all we know. And every Jew knows this. We have a Jewish, a spark of God inside of us. And that is our job. That's what we're here for. That's what we try to do. So we won't go down in darkness. We will shine and we will shine again.
Thank you. Thank you so much for playing that very powerful piece. This is the third time that I'm watching this. The first time I cried, and it set me thinking about what I wanted to say. It framed it perfectly about the idea that Hanukkah is a time to purge darkness with light. I want to begin by saying that for me, it was incredible, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his infinite way of communicating with us, that he took a city, which is Sydney. Sydney, on the map, is the first major Jewish community, in my opinion, correct me if I'm wrong, the first major Jewish community to celebrate Hanukkah. It's the way that the clock works, that they are, whatever it is, 10 hours before Yerushalayim, and we are, whatever it is, 12 hours before Los Angeles. My good friend, Reb Asher Brander from LA, he always shares with me that he's the last city, big city in the world to finish Yom Kippur. And when he gives his Ne'ilah speech, he always frames it as this is in our hands. We're all that's left for everyone else. Yom Kippur is over. Well, this year, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did the opposite, took the beautiful community of Sydney, and Hanukkah came in with this horrific, horrific pogrom. There's no other way of describing it. And I asked myself the following question. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking to us. I've said this many, many times throughout the last 2 years. Those of you who have been listening to my shiurim on my YouTube channel and on Torah Anytime, you know this is something that I say constantly, because this is what my Rebbein, Rav Moshe Shapiro, and Rishon LeVulva taught me. Hashem speaks to us through what's called a baskol. Baskol means he uses intermediaries to be able to communicate with us. And one of those baskols is the dates that he chooses for things to happen. And there's no greater example than Simchas Torah and ending on Hoshana Rabbah, 2 years exactly like Yosef HaTzadik spent 2 years in prison. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us all collectively in prison for 2 years in darkness with our hostages. And this was something incredible, because I had to ask myself, what does Simchas Torah mean? What does Hoshana Rabbah mean? What does it mean that it happened on Shabbos? This is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu talks to us. And now we have that the hostages are home, and a little bit we're in a sense of relief, but we're plunged into a new form of darkness called anti-Semitism. This anti-Semitism, again, this is Menachem Nissel speaking, what we saw in the early 1930s was an Eastern European phenomenon. It was in Germany. And my mother spent that decade. She got out of Germany 1 month before the war began. She was there for Kristallnacht. She saw how things changed, how things developed. And today it's different. It's different in a totally different way, because today it's not East Europe. Today it is absolutely everywhere. The fact that something happened as far away, again, I'm speaking to my American friends, as far away as Sydney, is a wake-up call for all of us, because we know that every few days we hear something happening in another part of the world. One day it's in Italy, the next day it is going to be in Manchester, the day after that in another part in Canada. We hear this day in, day out, day in, day out, until we realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is plunging the whole world into this incredible darkness, which we call, meaning Chazal call Galus Yishmael. This is the Galus of Yishmael, the grand finale of all our exiles. It's Yishmael. Yishmael comes after Edom, at the very end, before Mashiach, is the Galus of Yishmael. And it seems to be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking to us the following way. He's saying to us, there's a darkness called Yishmael. There's a darkness called the Galus that we're in. There's another darkness called Choshech. As Chazal tell us, Choshech refers to Yavam, refers to the Greeks. We are waging a war of our Hanukkah candles against the Choshech of Yavam. V'ha'aretz ho'isutoyu u'boyhu v'choshech al p'nei tahayim. The second pasuk in the Torah, Chazal tell us that the word Choshech is a reference to Galus Yavam. So we have this like fusion between Ishmael and the Greeks coming to us with this horrific introduction in the city of Sydney. And we need to pause and to think and ask ourselves, what should we be thinking? So I'm going to give you my thoughts. Again, these are my thoughts only, and there could be many other approaches over here, but I want to tell you what I really think needs to be said over here. First of all, when we talk about darkness, so there's the physical darkness that we just mentioned, the physical darkness of lack of safety, the physical darkness knowing that we have nobody to turn to. One of the incredible things that the rabbis told us about Golos Yishmael is that Yishmael has a partnership with the children of Esav in their ability to attack the Jews, meaning that if you are in a country like England or America, Australia or Canada, where you have 15 to 20% are Muslims, and the other 80 are Christian and children of Esav, so Esav will give the legitimacy to what Yishmael is doing. The crazy thing about world politics is that basically, if you are 15% of a democratic vote, you can run the country because everyone needs you. That's the way it works. And what we've seen over here, and it was extremely vivid in Australia, that the government over there was not there for us. The government over there is not someone for us to lean on. And Baruch Hashem in America, it's a little bit better, but anything can change. In 2 years, it can change completely. And it's changed in England, it's changed in Canada. And all that is left for us is to say we're on our own. And the world has become a dangerous place. Honestly, you can come to Eretz Yisrael, but what can I tell you? You don't come to Israel because it's safer. That's not what we do. It's the most dangerous place is Israel. You come to Israel for many reasons. Among them is because if it's going to be dangerous, you always want to be with family. And Eretz Yisrael is your extended family. This is your brothers and sisters. So that is what is one dimension of the darkness that we're in. But there's also a spiritual darkness, which Ishmael is symbolic of. I've spoken about this again throughout the last 2 years. Ishmael is it's called the Seed of Sheker. The Rambam, Maimonides, describes that Islam are the purveyors of falsehood, of fake narratives, of lies in this world. Do I have to explain myself? I hope not. Just open up. If you want, you can open up my beloved BBC. I'm British. At any time, any day, and you'll see Sheker. You'll see Sheker that was given legitimacy by the BBC. And the bottom line is that this whole world of Sheker is complemented in a horrific way by the Sheker of what the Greeks were trying to sell us. A godless world, a world where everything can be explained by science, everything can be explained by their version of wisdom and their version of beauty, a world without spiritual essence. And these two things are coming together in the most powerful way. Exactly a week ago, I found exactly, I was surprised, I just realized now it's here in Israel, it's already halachically Friday. Last Friday, I got this article about how our students are now accessing, I'm talking about firm students in the United States of America. Anyone who has what's called a kosher phone can call up AI, right? AI, as you all know, is dimyon, is the world of imagination. It's something that does not exist. And it enters into your mind, it takes over and creates a narrative that is sheker and can take any yeshiva boy, any Beis Yaakov girl, and take them to the darkest of the darkest places, the most frightening places. And there's nothing we can do about it. You can't take away their kosher phones. There's absolutely nothing we can do about it. This is the terrifying twists and turns of what Yishmael is offering us. So I just wanted to say a few things. Once again, when I say that we should come to Eretz Yisrael, I do want to say the one little point about coming to Eretz Yisrael. I, by chance, happened to be in Miami when my shul in Har Nof had a massacre. Some of you know, every morning I study in the morning hours. I'm not available because I'm learning Torah in the shul called Rabbi Reuben Shul Kehillas B'nai Torah, where six of my friends were massacred. This is almost 10 years ago now. I happened to be in Miami. I happened to be at the home of my friend Moshe Lerfeld. He told his father, who was still alive at that time then, and his father told the news corps, the press, that there's a rabbi in Miami who actually comes from the synagogue. And suddenly I became a celebrity for a day. Every single news outlet in South Florida wanted to interview me. And one of the questions I got was, how are we planning to do vengeance? This is a very important word, vengeance, because Islam is built around the word vengeance, nekama. And I just said in Mincha the words, you gave vengeance to their vengeance. It's a very strange phrase, which I want to explain properly. In other words, they committed an act of vengeance, and mida keneged mida, we responded with an act of vengeance. I'm going to show you in about 20 minutes a much deeper idea of what I'm going to say to you now. But when I was there in front of the cameras in South Florida, I told him, yes, for sure. I know exactly what the rabbi of our synagogue is thinking right now. I know exactly what my friends are thinking. We want vengeance. Absolutely. This is how we do vengeance. We're going to build a kollel. We're going to build a Torah institution that's going to be a light in our neighborhood, Har Nof. And indeed, there's one called Ateret Kedoshim, literally means the splendor of our martyrs, of the ones, the holy ones that died. And yeah, that was Jewish vengeance. We fight evil by bringing more light into this world, more Torah light into this world. So I want to take that a little bit deeper in a few minutes' time. But first of all, I want to make the following statement to you. This is all for every single one of us. For those of you that think that what I'm about to teach you now is too lofty for you, you have no idea how you're mistaken. First of all, your chizik mission, ladies, I don't mean to be patronizing, but it doesn't get better than you, okay? It just does not get better than you. You are the front line of the people bringing light into this world. But I do want to say that dafka, because there's so much choshech, whenever the darkness is thicker, every drop of light has a greater impact. So that means this is something that's very empowering for us, that our little lights actually create a huge amount of light if anyone has been steeped in darkness. So you know, you see that little light, you know which direction to go, and you already feel a little bit of a sense of safety. This is an incredibly powerful thing, that the closer we get to Mashiach, the greater the darkness. And now with this Yavon Ishmael fusion, the Greeks and Islam, this fusion that Hanukkah of this year represents. So we have to take the responsibility of our little lights to purge that thick darkness that is around us. I want to share with you one little story. This story moved me tremendously. I apologize if you've heard this before. It's a good story to reflect on. Many, many empowering stories came out. So-called light in the darkness stories came out from our beloved hostages. There's, at this point now, I think there's already an article has a book on them. Feldheim has a book on them, and we should read them and be inspired by them. I just now, the Yisrael Chaim Ohana, I think I've forgotten his first name. I just read for the first time last week the story of how he managed to. He was given a radio that could only connect to local Arabic stations, and he somehow managed to attach himself to Galitzal. Galitzal is a totally secular Israeli news station, and by chance, okay, by chance, who does he hear? He hears his father's voice, but not just his father's voice. His father says, if my son could only hear him, they asked him, if you could give a message to your son, what would you say? They did not know that he was actually listening. And he answered that if my son could be listening, I would tell him that all of the Jewish people are praying for you, and it's going to be okay. You're going to come out. You're going to come out okay. Hold on to your faith. And he's hearing this. in those tunnels in that thick darkness in Gaza, and it gives him hope, and Baruch Hashem, he's out now. That's not the story I wanted to share. The story I wanted to share is about a woman called the name of Daphna. Daphna, she lost everything. She lost her family, she lost her home, she lost everything in what was called Kibbutz Re'im, a small one of the 23 kibbutzim that was attacked. And when a religious journalist interviewed her, she said something that literally shook me, right? There's something incredible, incredible, incredible. The religious interviewer asked her, what, when they destroyed your kibbutz, did they destroy the synagogue? And she laughed and said, no, they did not. And not by chance. We don't have a shul over here. We are extremely anti-religious, which, by the way, unfortunately, that was the story in most of the kibbutzim in that area. And she said, we were so anti-religious that 2 days before they took me away, just 2 days beforehand, a man by the name of Rabbi Shlomo Ra'anan, who runs this organization of bridging different parts of Israeli society, it's a beautiful concept. He wanted to bring a bunch of yeshiva boys to play basketball with the local kids in that kibbutz. And she said, if they come, we know what they're doing. It's a Trojan horse. In her words, I'm going to stand like this at the gates of my kibbutz and fight them, not letting anyone religious coming into my kibbutz. That's what she said. We weren't anti-religious. We were obsessively anti-religious. Fast forward, I find myself in a tunnel. I find myself tied to a chair. I find myself being guarded by an old Arab. Now, I am someone that tries very hard to connect to Arabs. I speak Arabic. And I started talking to him. I said, why are you so cruel to me? Don't you know that I dedicated my life to good relations with Arabs? He says, what do you have against us Jews? What do you have against us? So the old Arab started laughing at her and saying to her, says, you're not a Jew. You're not a Jew. I know what Jews look like. I've seen a Jew. You're not a Jew. You are a European colonialist. You are a European who's come to the Middle East to take over our land. So she says, what are you talking about? I'm Jewish. And he says, I know what a Jew looks like. You're not a Jew. And she starts screaming in Arabic, Anna Yahudin, I am Jewish, I'm Jewish, until he could not take it anymore. And he tapes her mouth. And suddenly she finds herself. She can't talk, she can't move. She's in this dark tunnel. The only person she has for company is this old Arab who's laughing at her and saying, you're not a Jew. And she realized for the first time that she's not a Jew. Everywhere she goes through Europe, people say, you're Jewish. She says, no, I'm Israeli. Yeah, I'm not Jewish. That's what she tells people. She wanted to purge out her Jewishness from them. And at that point then, in that thick hell of darkness, in that tunnel, she took upon herself, if I ever get out of this place, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go back to my kibbutz and build a shul. And that's what's happening as we speak. And she had a total 180 in that thick darkness. How incredible is Hashem's ways that he gives people the most beyond comprehension wake-up calls that are there to turn people around and then to inspire us who are in every corner of the world now as we speak. We need to step back and say to ourselves, Hashem is giving us opportunities to think that we need to take this concept of light and darkness to a totally different level. That's what I want to do now. I want to come along and explain light and darkness on a much, much deeper level. I also want to explain on a much deeper level what you say in davening, and I'm asking you just for this year at least to mentally underline in your siddur the words nekamta es nikmasam. So something very practical can come out. Those of you who know me as a tefillah teacher, so I always, always like to put in and anchor something from my classes into our davening. Nekamta es nikmasam. I want to show you a new understanding of what is going on over here. So I want to begin at the very beginning. For the next 15 minutes, I want to talk about the word light. I want to talk about the word light. I want to give you Mara Makomos. The first Mara Makom, the first thing I want to talk about is when I say the word famous in Menachem Nissel's language means everyone quotes it. It's the Gemara in Shabbos 22b. That is the section of the Talmud that talks about the laws and the mitzvahs of Hanukkah. And there's an interjection that says the following words, and I'd like to read it to you inside of that, if that's okay. Rav Sheshes asked the following question. He says, we all know that the Torah says, this is a pasuk in Vayikra, Michutz lapareches ha'edus, yaruch eis ha'aron, me'erev ha'boi ketamid, chukas onam. The Torah is telling us the mitzvah of Ha'aron HaKohen, and after that, any Kohen could take his place, how he would light candles every day. He would light candles, just to give you a little bit of a vision over here. Imagine you're walking now from the Chatzer, the great courtyard, in front of the Mishkan or in front of the Holy Temple, and you're walking in now into what's called the Heichal, the Kodesh. And right in front of you, at the very far end, is that little curtain, the Paroches, that you go through there, and it takes you into the Holy of Holies. On the other side of the Holy of Holies is going to be, in the first temple, is going to be the Aron HaKodesh with the Kruvim in gold. But as you walk in, you see the following thing. On your left-hand side is the Shulchan. On the right-hand side is the menorah. Interestingly, our shuls recreate that. The Aron HaKodesh becomes the Kodesh Kodashim. If you walk into any shul now, you'll see on the right-hand side, you'll see a menorah. There's two different opinions. We'll go with the easiest one to comprehend. The menorah would be facing you this way, not this way, but this way. And what you had was, is you had three on one side, okay, three on the other side, and in the middle was called the Ner Ma'aravi, the Western one. Why is it called the Western one? Because it leans towards the Kodesh Kodashim. It leans towards that. Just by the way, next time you go to the Kotel, what's it called? The Kotel HaMa'arafi. Okay, so you know that on the other side of that wall would have been the Kodesh Kodashim. And then right in front of that, you'd have on one side the menorah, the other side the Shulchan. A little bit further away would be the Mizbeach HaKetores. What is the Torah telling us? The Torah is telling us the following thing. Every night, Aaron HaKohen would come in, and he would light this menorah. Okay, as you will know, today we have eight. In those days, they had seven. He would light the menorah. When would he light it? In the late afternoon, before it gets dark, and it was there to light the darkness of the night. It's an interesting thing, because the Mishkan and the Beis Hamikdash was basically empty at night. Nothing was happening over there. No one goes in there, but there was something happening because the Neros of the menorah were lit all night long. And then what the Torah says over here is that, and I quote, the Ner Ma'aravi, which is next to the Pareches HaEdus, the curtain that is connected to the Edus. The Edus is a reference to the Luchos, right? The Luchos that give testimony, that's on the other side of the curtain. I apologize for those of you who feel that you're back in high school with a Chumash class. Stay with me, okay? Stay with me. The Gemara is about to get extremely interesting. The Gemara goes on to say, and I quote, he says, what does it mean, the curtain that gives testimony? Amar Rav. Rav answers, Zeh Ner Ma'aravi. This is the aforementioned Western candle, Shanasimba Kemidas Chaverta Umadlika, and it would stay lit the whole night long. Meaning, why is it called testimony? It's called testimony because a miracle happened over there. Literally, every single day in history, for the Mishkan, for Bais Rishon, and Bais Sheni, probably also in Shiloh, and all the other places that it went through, there was this incredible miracle. What would happen is that the Kohen Gadol, or the Kohen that lit that Ner Ma'aravi, it would shine. They would have exactly what's called half a log, which is a certain amount of volume, enough to go all night long. And all the other sticks would go all night long. But there would be an ongoing miracle that the Ner Ma'aravi would go all the way around 24 hours, so that when the Kohen would come back to light once again, he would see that the other six had gone out by sunrise, depending on what time of the year, the sunrise. But the Ne'eman Rabbi kept going all the way until it was the time to relight again in the evening. It's a crazy thing. It's a Hanukkah miracle that happened every single day. When did it end? Rashi brings down with Shimon HaTzaddik. Who was Shimon HaTzaddik? The one that met the Greeks, the one that met Alexander the Great. That is when the miracle came to an end. But you have, if you make the calculation for at least 830 years, you had this miracle happening every single day. And as the Talmud says, it would give testimony to everyone that the Shekhinah, the divine presence, is with us. Now, what's the obvious question? First of all, a technical question. It's not the obvious question. The technical question was, is that why is it called Mishkan Ha'edus? It gives testimony. So why does the Torah say that the Paroches, meaning that the Aron HaKodesh is giving the testimony, when it's the menorah that gives the testimony? It doesn't say menorah Ha'edus. It says over here that the Eidus was being given by the Aron HaKodesh. Doesn't make any sense. You've got the wrong object over here. The testimony, the Gemara says, is from the menorah. And now we're saying, no, it's not the menorah. It's actually happening on the other side. It's actually happening over there with the Aron. So that is one question. But the obvious question is, no one ever saw this happen, except for the Kohen Gadol that lights in. You and I would not be allowed in there. Even the Kohanim were not allowed to go in there for no reason. You could only go in there if you were doing something. You're doing the showbread, or you're doing the Ketores. You have to be doing an avodah. You have to be doing something. So what exactly does this mean? That here we see, and I'm going to show you in a moment till the end of time, that the Shekhinah is always with us. And the key to unlocking this extraordinary verse, this extraordinary concept of this miracle that happened with the Ne'eman Ravi that's connected to the Aron HaKodesh, the key is the Ramban. Now, I hate to say this, but when we say famous Ramban, how annoying is it when a rabbi says a famous something? But this is the famous Ramban that everyone talks about on Hanukkah. This is the Ramban that tells us that Aaron HaKohen was depressed. Why was he depressed? Because this morning, as we do every morning in the synagogues, in our shuls, we read the Nasi of the day, the prince of the tribe that would bring special, special karbana, special sacrifices in honor of his day towards the dedication of the Jewish Mishkan, which is the predecessor to the temple. And each day, another one of the 12 tribes would bring, but Levi doesn't bring. And Aaron HaKohen says, why does my tribe have to lose out? What did I do wrong? So the Ramban brings from the Medrash and says, Hashem says to him, calm down, my dear friend. Calm down. What you get is better than what anyone else gets. He says, what do you mean? He says, because you get the mitzvah of lighting candles in the Kodesh, in that holy place called the Kodesh. He says, wait a second. So what is that going to do with me? He says, don't you get it? That is something that lasts forever and ever and ever. And the Ramban explains that even if the temple is destroyed, Hashem Yirachem, we have now, but that lighting of the candles continues through the mitzvah of Hanukkah candles that happens in front of every Jewish home. You hear this, ladies? It's a crazy thing. Aaron HaKohen is consoled because it's now 6:38 in Yerushalayim. Just an hour ago, this was pandemonium because the Telesniks are here, my grandchildren from Carmel, all nine of them, Bli and Hara. They take up a lot of space in our apartment, and everyone had to light candles, and my wife's making donuts, and it's a whole matzav going on, and all these little kids are lighting candles, and every single one of them, you can see them from the street, and you can see we light in the front by our door, and we see them in the street, and we light downstairs. Well, every possible opinion, we were lighting everywhere. What were we doing? We were doing something that comforts Aaron HaKodesh because we were doing something that connects to the lining of Aaron HaKohen. For a few moments, I, Menachem Nissel, and my grandkids and my son, okay, we became high priests and the house became my Beis HaMikdash, and I'm lighting in front of my house, and I'm connecting all the way back to Aaron HaKohen, all the way back to the Midbar, that Aaron HaKohen says, okay, I get it. Okay, I'm not going to be upset anymore. Wow, Hashem, thank you. What you gave me is beyond awesome. So this obviously has to be understood. There's something going on behind the scenes over here that I want to share with you. And the key is an essay by Rabbi Yitzchak, by Yitzchak Isaac Chaver, or he was the number one, or one of the most important teachers of the Torah of the Vilna Gaon, even though he was second generation. But Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Chaver, he writes an essay, and he answers all our questions, and he puts everything into perspective with the following statement. So I apologize for those of you that think I'm giving too much information. You need to hang on just a little bit more, and everything's going to fall into place. Everyone that's listening to me at some point in your career has heard a pasuk in Mishlei, Ki ner mitzvah v'torah or. A mitzvah is a candle, and Torah is considered light. What's more powerful? They're very different. The light is purely spiritual. Light doesn't take up time and space. You can't. It's almost impossible to understand scientifically. But what holds it is something real, something that can. Barry, you want to know where it is in Mishlei? Is that what you want to? It's a Perek Yud in Mishlei, the
I was
10th Perek.
taking another piece of paper because I'm trying, and then this is what I have. I'm writing down all
Okay,
your
I'm sorry.
information.
Okay. Oh, I thought
Well.
maybe said, where is it in Mishlei? It's in Perek Yud. So he says the following thing. He said, you should know that the Jewish people, our fuel is two things, mitzvos and Torah. Mitzvos is called ner. Mitzvos is the crucible, is something physical that contains oil. And ter is the pure light. So he explains that what we call the chatzer, excuse me, what we call the heichal, where you find the shulchan, the showbread, and you find the menorah, and you find the mizbeach of keteres, of incense, that is the final frontier of the physical earthly world. Some of you may be familiar with the phrase that's bound by the number seven, right? It's bound by the number seven. It's physical, it's earthly, 7 days of the week, the seven directions, six directions, and the seventh one that holds them. Everything is sevens. And that is the Heichal. But the Ner Maariv leans towards the Aron HaKodesh that represents the world of the number eight. It leans to the world of Torah. And Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Chaver is teaching us that the definition of the menorah is basically the transformer from the world of mitzvah to the world of Torah, to the world of practical, earthly, down-to-earth applications of building our Jewish homes and building our Jewish communities and building a Jewish society, to that world called the world of the yeshiva, the world of the Beis HaMedrash, where they're learning about my ox goring your cow and who pays for the aborted fetus and all the other things that yeshiva barchem do, which is the world of the number eight, that spurious world of the yeshivas that is represented by the Aron HaKodesh. So you have something incredible now. We understand very, very clearly why is it that we focus on the paroches, on the curtain that divides, because really that interface is what the Ner Maariv was all about. It's the menorah leaning in to taking us, so to speak, on a spiritual journey so we can connect to that eighth level, to the Aron HaEdus, to that incredible thing called the world of Torah. It's where Ner Mitzvah touches Torah Or. That is what the Ner Maariv is all about. And at this point now, we have to bring in the famous words of Rabbeinu Bachya. Just a quick reminder, Rabbeinu Bachya was one of the greatest students of the Ramban in Barcelona, if you ever go to Barcelona. So get in touch with me. I'll tell you stuff about the Rabbeinu Bachya and his Beis HaMedrash there, the Rashba, his friend the Rashba. And Rabbeinu Bachya says that when we say Bahalaischa, the Neris will lit up. It went all the way back to where? All the way back to where? To the beginning of creation. That first light that Hashem created when he created the world. The first 36 hours of the day. No one saw that light except for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that light came out again when Adam HaRishon was created for 36 hours. 36 hours. Friday from midday to midnight to, excuse me, Friday, the last 12 hours of Friday, and then the 24 hours of that Shabbos Bereishis makes 36 hours. Those 36 hours were hidden by God, and in the language of the rabbis and the Hasidus and Kabbalists, it's called the Or HaGanus, that hidden light. That light that Kadosh Baruch Hu originally wanted for creation. That Or HaGanus was hidden where? It was hidden in the Torah. It was hidden in a page of Gemara, that access to that hidden light that is the world of beyond. The Rokeach is Reish Vav Kuf. The Rokeach was a 12th century German rabbi who was also a Kabbalist. And the Rokeach says that the Aron HaKodesh contains the Luchos, right? The Luchos, one Luach is Lamed Vav Ches. Lamed Vav Ches. Lamed Vav is 36. Those are the 36 candles of Hanukkah, which are the 36 hours of the holy light, and Ches are the 8 days. So it's 36, so to speak, times eight. So that is how the menorah anchors itself, says the Rokeach in this beautiful remez, this beautiful hint into the world of the Lamed Vav Ches. This is what we do when we light the candles. Now hold on, because I just want to take you on another journey. So let me just summarize what I just said so far. Little me and little you, when we light our candles, we are connecting to something that is extraordinary, that is called the Or HaGanus, that hidden light. I'm about to tell you now, I have no idea what I'm saying, but I just want you to hear it. There are a lot of holy Jews, and I know these people, who, when they light their candles, they spend half an hour going like this, staring at the lights. You should try it. It's very, very soothing. You should try it once. Just don't let people see it. They'll think you've gone crazy. You just stare at the lights, and it's a tikkun for your eyes. It cleanses your eyes for all those TikToks that you didn't want to see, whatever it is that you've been subjected to, or anything you did with your eyes that you don't particularly are proud of. You look at those Neros and you say, yeah, I want to be able to see that Or HaGanus. You won't see it, but imagine that you can. Now, that tzaddikim that know what they're doing. I saw it with my own eyes, with some of my rebbeim. Doesn't make any difference. The point is that there's something very powerful going on. Little me, little you, in our Jewish home, are connecting to Aaron HaKohen, who in turn is connecting to the Aaron HaKodesh, which is that elevated light. It's not the regular light of the Kodesh. It's the light of the Kodesh Kodashim that has its roots in the Or HaGanus that disappeared after that first Shabbos was over with Adam HaRishon. One more thought, and I'm going to pull the whole class together, and I'm going to get to some practical thoughts. One more thought. What I'm about to tell you now, I've never seen inside. Once upon a time, I connected a bunch of midrashim and I put them together to create the following thing. 2 weeks ago, we read that Yaakov Avinu went to get the Pachim Ketanim. The Pachim Ketanim, I have over here a collection of midrashim over here that I discovered, and there it says that those Pachim Ketanim contained oil. In Chassidus, it's well known. According to one opinion, Ishbitz, this is the Torah of Ishbitz, if you want to know, that Pach HaShemen went back to Yitzchak, to Avraham Avinu, to Shem, to Noach. That Pach HaShemen has its origin. Okay, everyone should sit down for this, because this is insane what I'm about to tell you. It's absolutely insane. It has its origin in that dove, that beautiful dove. The dove went out and looked for a zayit, and according to the Zohar, he found a zayit in Gan Eden. And he brought it back, this beautiful olive that he found in the Garden of Eden. And Noah realized that he has to do something with his zayit, and he turned it into oil and he put it into a capsule. This powerful spiritual oil had its origins through the dove. And as I'm talking to you now, I just thought of something. I don't, it's not even my notes because I'm thinking about it just now. There's a midrash that says that Yaakov, that Noah sent out the raven and then he sent out the three the three times he sent out the dove, just occurred to me that when the dove came back with the olive was the third, which corresponds to the exile of the Greeks, almost as if to say it comes to neutralize the Greeks. Those four shlichus is brought down in by the rabbis corresponds to the four exiles. Doesn't matter. Point is, Gan Eden, all the way to Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, he pours that oil on the Mizbeach that he makes after he was saved from the angel of Esav, and he sees that the oil refills itself. He says, "Oh my gosh, this is not normal. This is not normal." And he gives it to Levi, who takes it with him, and it's passed down generation to generation. It goes 210 years into Egypt. It goes all the way into Eretz Yisrael. It's held during Bais Rishon, and in Bais Sheni, it is finally opened up, and it is used by the Hashmonaim to light that incredible Hanukkah miracle. But it doesn't end there, because the Chidush HaRim brings down that that light, lit candle, is the light that keeps us going throughout the 2,000 years of exile, 2,400 years since that event. That light keeps us going. So when we say light in the darkness, my esteemed ladies, we're not just talking a what's called, I don't know what to say over here because I don't want to sound negative. I have so much respect for everyone that says it because Christians use it as well. We're talking about everyone wants to purge darkness and bring out light, and it's used by everyone. And it has lost its meaning because it just means that anyone that helps a little old lady cross the road has brought light into the world of darkness. And it's absolutely true, but that's not what Hanukkah is about. It's not what Hanukkah is about. Hanukkah is that light, the Or HaGanuz, that's represented by Torah. And how incredible is it? Rav Sternberg brings down a Medrash. V'hidliku neiros b'chatzros kodshecha. They lit the Hashmonaim, the Maccabees, they lit candles in the chatzros, in the courtyards. There was only one courtyard in the Beis HaMikdash. Says Rav Sternbuch, he's just a few minutes away from where I am now. He's close to 100, holy man. And he says the following words. He brings a medrash that says the chatzros means that when they lit that candle, that magic candle, and it went down for the last time, for that last time, it disappeared. Every single chatzer in Yerushalayim was lit up magically again. The Or HaGanuz hit every chatzer. And that's why it's in the plural. But it says, Chatzeres Kodshecha, your holy, holy, holy chatzeres. So it's only going to light up in your house if your house is holy. So I need to give you a take-home message, ladies. If you want to fight Choshech, you want to fight Ishmael, and you want to fight the Greeks simultaneously, the key is to making your home like the Heichal attached to the Kodesh Kedoshim, like the Ne'er Ma'arovi. How do you do that? I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to give you just two thoughts. But each one of you is holding in a different place. So each one of you needs to answer this question your way. What can I take upon myself this Hanukkah to wage war with darkness and bring pure light by making my home Chatzeres Kodshecha? Just want to add one layer, and then I'm just that's it. One more layer of depth. Once again, from the Chiddush HaRim, the Chiddush HaRim tells us, "Nekamta es nikmasam." You've took vengeance against their vengeance. How does that work? So all of darkness is represented in what's called Rishus HaRabim, the outdoors. And all of light is represented in the Jewish home is Rishus HaYachid. Our Rishus HaYachid, our Chatzeros, connects to the ultimate Chatzer, the ultimate Rishus HaYachid, which is the Beis HaMikdash. Your home is a miniature of the Beis HaMikdash. What is the first thing the Greeks do? They made 13. 13 is always a number of maximum. 13 breaches. There is no privacy for the Jews, meaning there's no Kodesh. Everything is chol. So how do we do vengeance against them? Our Jewish home becomes the source of light, the source of Kedusha that we breach into the Rishus HaRabim called Pirsumei Nisa. You light in front of your home because you want your home to reach the street. You want your home to affect the street. That's what it means that we show that the Shekhinah is everywhere. The Shekhinah goes out into the Rishus HaRabim. Quick reminder, ladies. The Rishus HaRabim is only the bottom 10 Tefachim. It's right there. That's where we light our menorahs, at the bottom, by the floor, by the earthliness, by the world of Ishmael and the world of Yavon. But your home goes all the way to Shemayim. The Shus HaYachid goes all the way to the Holy of the Holies, all the way up to the highest of the highest. That's your Jewish home. This week, one of my students asked me, how do I make my home holy? I asked her, what's your challenge? She said, non-Jewish music. So I told her, I said to him, listen, if you want to listen to non-Jewish music, Hashem gave you a thing called Zumba. There you can fantasize, you're a Latino dancer, you can do what you want. Hashem gave you a car. You can drive your car, listen to any station you want. But oy vavoy, your home, the walls of your Jewish home, where you and your husband sing Shabbos Mirrors, those walls have to seep in holiness. And this is not my business to say to people, but no one says to you how you should walk around your home. But I always say that in the area of your Sfarim and your Shabbos table, the area that you light your candles, the area that you call that Kodesh part of your house, which we normally is your living room, so there you should dress a little bit on a higher level to identify that this is exactly like my neighbor next door and yet totally different. My definition of a Jewish home, and I say this wherever I can, the Jewish home is defined as the perfect fusion of Kedusha and laughter. If you have that fusion of Kedusha and laughter, you did your home right. If you have that fusion, it has to be a place that Kadosh can sometimes be very somber, but no, it's got to be a happy place. It's got to be a fun place. If you get it right, then you can burst out into the street and turn everything around. And finally, I want to get back to the ultimate weapon that we have. And that is our Jewish homes should be connected to Torah. It goes without saying, again, I'm preaching to the choir over here, that we support our local Torah institutions and we support our Torah institutions here in Eretz Yisrael that are suffering so much at the moment. Everything we can do to have Torah in its purity, that is what is the secret of the light that brought Daphna back home, that protects our soldiers, that protects Yidden in all corners of the world, is the light that comes from a Torah that has its roots in the Ara Gonis, that has its roots in the Kodesh Kedoshim, and that goes through our homes and then goes out to the streets. And this is something that we have to do everything we can to fight for with Mesiras Nefesh like Yaakov Avinu. I want to finish off with something positive. And I want to get the following farewell message. I, by chance, was in New York when Mamdani became the new mayor. I spoke that night. Everyone was a little bit upset, and I wanted to lighten the mood because I'm from London. And I said, it's about time. I said, why should London be the only big city, big Jewish city with a Muslim mayor? Okay, it's crazy. Paris should have been first. But no, it's London. Now New York, okay, it's about time it happened. But here's the good news, ladies. And this, I want to finish with this. Here's the good news. Everything is going according to plan. What do I mean? 2,000 years ago, Rabbi Eliezer, the great teacher of Rabbi Kiva, said, before Mashiach comes, Ishmael is going to be the master of darkness. Ishmael is going to be the last evil in this world when everything is settled. And the Jewish people will have the land of Israel back again. We'll be back home in our homes in Eretz Yisrael. And they're going to come along from Eretz Yisrael and create havoc in the four corners of the world. So wait a second. So it's happening in front of us. How does that Medrash end? Yishmael is their power of tefillah, but Yishmael means Hashem will listen to our tefillahs. And he'll bring the final geula. We must have the laughter of Rabbi Akiva. When Rabbi Akiva was with his colleagues and with his teachers, and he saw that foxes, is called Shualim. Shualim is the same letters as Yishmaelim. Yishmaelim is the, yeah, it's where it works. Mrs. Palak, it works. Okay, Yishmaelim Shualim, the Chidah says this. When you see the foxes coming out of the Holy of Holies, you can see it anytime you want. You can see those foxes on the other side of the Kotel. So Rabbi Kiva was laughing while his friends were crying. And he told them, "Why are you crying? The prophecies are coming true. The prophecy of Zechariah that says foxes will come out, we're now seeing it." So the next prophecy of Uriah, that the children will be dancing and will be laughing in the streets of Yerushalayim with the coming of Mashiach, that's the next prophecy that comes afterwards. It's happening, ladies. It's happening exactly the way it's supposed to be happening. This Hanukkah, when you come to the point of maximum darkness, the only thing that can come back is light. But we have to be there for that last chapter, and we have to take that responsibility and take our little teeny candles of pure light anchored in Torah, spread out into this world, and all those little candles should come together to create that great light of the Argonaz. The 36 hours will become infinite hours of the pure light with the Kodesh Baruch Hu and the coming of Mashiach. We should be zeicher to see it from here v'yameinu. Thank you so much for the honor of teaching you.
Wow.
Loved it.
Yeah.
Question. Yes, my Elder
Thank you.
Shulam, I love that. I have a question. Does that mean, I just got back from Israel this morning. Does that mean that they are, Ishmael will be in the four corners to force us to go back to Israel? Is that what's going to happen? No.
I think there's two separate steps. At the moment now, Ishmael, there are tentacles on the four corners of the world. Everywhere you go, we suffer from them. But what we do is that we create little dots of light because Mashiach has to come for something. Mashiach has to be anchored in that little, he needs that light to expand. He can't come when the darkness is total. But in the end of the days, all we can do is hunker down in our Jewish homes and try and create as much light as we can and let it spread. And in the end, I don't think that whether you come to Eretz Yisrael or not, we definitely, Mrs. Nala, we definitely welcome you to come get over
I was
here.
just there. So my
I
other question, so the other question is, the name Ishmael always bothered me, but you say
just
that.
want to I just want to make a point over here. You cannot move to Eretz Yisrael if you're not going to be a more effective Jew, because I just wanted to say, I want to get this out there. I'm not promoting people to make Aliyah if you're not going to be happy. It's a tough place to live. And especially for those ladies who are doing big things in your own cities, think 100 times. I'm not, again, I think that if you can make it work, you should do it. But this is a different discussion for a different time.
Okay.
Go ahead, go ahead, go ahead
And
with
the
your
name
question.
Ishmael, so
Yes.
does it mean Hashem is listening to them or listening to us? Because you try to put that twist on it. Ishmael means Hashem is listening to us, but before my name.
I was quoting from Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, and Pirkei de Eliezer is a Midrashim, and the chapter 36 and chapter 35 have opposing drashas. One says that Yishmael Hashem listens to their prayers, and the other one says Yishmael Hashem will listen to us crying out to God from the suffering from Yishmael. So we're trying to push that second narrative to
I like
override
that better.
the first
Yeah.
one.
Okay. All right. It's good enough for you. It's good enough for me. That's great. I love you.
Yeah.
Way back when my daughter was in seminary and I had the privilege of being there in person.
Thank you.
Yashkar.
Beautiful. Can I go back to my grandkids now?
Yes. Can I just say on behalf of everybody, Rabbi Nissel, wow. Thank you. Thank you from the depths of our hearts. Wow. Really.
Thank you so much for this course.
Thank you.
All the best. Thank you.
Great looking Hanukkah, everybody. Thank you for being a part of this. All the best.
Thanks to everybody who organizes. This is really lovely.
Amazing.
Hanukkah. Thank you.